שלום, אנחנו לומדים מתוך הספר כתבי רבש, כרך א' בעמוד 30.
We're reading Writings of Rabash, volume 1, page 34. One should always sell everything he has and marry a wise disciple's daughter. You may ask questions on cub.tv. Selected questions will be aired. Writings of Rabash, in the Hebrew book, it's page 34. One should always sell everything he has and marry a wise disciple's daughter. One should always sell everything he has and marry a wise disciple's daughter. This means that he should sell all the possessions that he has acquired through his labor. That is, he should give everything and relinquish everything, and in turn take the daughter of a wise disciple. This means that if he does not take a wise disciple's daughter, all the labor that he has given in Torah and mitzvot his whole life is incomplete. And only if he marries a wise disciple's daughter, he will be rewarded with his completeness. This is why our sages said that he should sell everything he has, meaning that it is worthwhile to sell everything for a wise disciple's daughter. Therefore, we should understand the meaning of a wise disciple's daughter. Bala Sulam said that a wise disciple is one who is a disciple of a wise, meaning he learns from the wise. Then he's considered a disciple. A wise is the creator, whose quality is only to bestow. One who learns from him the quality of bestowal is called a wise disciple, because he is learning from him the quality of bestowal. By that we will understand what our sages said, one should always sell everything he has and marry a wise disciple's daughter. That is, he should give all the labor he has given in Torah and work, and in return receive a possession of bestowal. This means that he will establish in his heart a new nature, instead of the one that he naturally has, a desire of self-love. Now he will receive a second nature, the desire to bestow. That is, his every thought, word, and action will only be in order to bestow upon the Creator, for this is the whole man. This means that one should achieve only this degree, for all we need to attain are the kelim. But the abundance, which is the filling of the kelim, comes from the Creator. Since more than the calf wants to suckle, the cow wants to nurse. Therefore, all we are missing is the power of bestowal. By that we can interpret what is written in the Zohar. If Israel are rewarded, he would come down like a lion of fire to eat the offerings. If they were not rewarded, he would come down there like a dog of fire. It is known that lion implies chesed, mercy, which is the right of Merkava, chariot. If they were rewarded, where being rewarded means pure, meaning bestowal, then we are shown an eye for an eye, that from above too comes the discernment of the lion, meaning that the quality of chesed expanded to the lower ones, and then the abundance was plentiful for the lower ones. If they were not rewarded, meaning they did not engage in bestowal, but only in self-love, then from above the discernment of dog would be extended. A dog implies, as it is written in the Zohar about the verse, the leech has two daughters that howl as dogs. Give us the wealth of this world and give us the wealth of the next world. In other words, the two daughters that bark like dogs, give us the wealth of this world. and give us the wealth of the next world, which is only about reception and not about bestowal. Therefore, from above too, we are shown that we cannot bestow abundance downward, and this is called an eye for an
eye.
It turns out that our work is only to be rewarded with vessels that are suitable for reception of the abundance, which are vessels of bestowal. Therefore, a person should focus all of his efforts on only one thing called vessels of bestowal. This should be the only reward that he wants to attain from Torah and mitzvot. By that, he will achieve adhesion with the Creator, which is man's purpose, to achieve dvikut with the Creator. We also see in the words of the Zohar that it was said about the verse, "The mercy of the nations is a sin. All the good that they do for themselves." This means their aim with all the mercy, meaning the act of bestowal that they do, is not to bestow. Rather, their intention is for themselves, meaning to receive reward for it. Otherwise, they cannot perform acts of bestowal. But the people of Israel are capable of performing acts of bestowal. And we should understand why the people of Israel can perform acts of bestowal. And we should also understand, according to what we hear from people who become religious, who say that before they became religious, they were more capable of performing acts in order to bestow. But afterwards, meaning once they have become religious, it has become more difficult for them to perform acts of bestowal. To understand the above, we should remember the known. We should remember what is known, and that is to a person, and that is that he is only a will to receive, meaning the Creator is created from absence. Sorry, the creature is created from absence. It therefore turns out that by nature, he is incapable of performing any act of bestowal unless he receives some reward in return. And the reward does not have to be that he receives something for the effort. Rather, it can be some pacifying that he receives. That is, if some compassion awakened in him towards another, and his conscience does not let him rest to the point that he must help another, this too is regarded as reward. But simply doing something for another, for the others to enjoy, then he tells himself, what will I get out of it? But the people of Israel, through the power of Torah and mitzvot, are capable of attaining second nature. That is, instead of the nature they were born with a desire only to receive, they will receive a second nature.
Meaning that in our words there are such people who are aimed directly at the Creator. They want to change their nature in that they wish to know the Creator, and according to that desire they're called Israel. And that's based on the desire and nothing else. So then they accept upon themselves the conditions and the method for how to discover the Creator, how to come to His revelation. And as you already wrote, the revelation of the Creator happens only by equivalence of form, by resemblance. That just as the Creator bestows, one should achieve bestowal. And these are opposite qualities to what we have today. So, one who directs himself despite his current nature to achieve an opposite nature is considered Israel. And then the means at his disposal are referred to as Torah. The changes that he has to go through and perform upon himself are called mitzvot. Please.
And that is attained through the power of Torah and mitzvot, that give him the sensation that he can resemble his root. However, without Torah and mitzvot, one cannot exit his nature, which is a will to receive to himself, and he is not able to do any action of bestowal without getting something in return. And by that, we can understand what they say about those who become religious, and they say that before they became religious, they had more strength to do actions of bestowal. But later, when they have become religious, they feel that it is more difficult for them to perform acts of bestowal.
When he says secular or religious, we understand that he refers to not those who are called that way among the broad public. Whether religion, like he explains to us in The Essence of Religion and Its Purpose, or The Essence of the Wisdom of Kabbalah, that religion really means the wisdom of Kabbalah and only that. And one who tries to achieve the goal of creation is what he will call religious. One who doesn't will be called secular. From the words lit, meaning earthly, in the will to receive. However, those who rise to the will to bestow are considered religious. And accordingly, this is the essence of repentance, etc. These discernments were taken from the wisdom of Kabbalah, from the ups and downs of the person, and they're being used in that kind of street kind of manner.
We should reply to that, as explained in the introduction to the Book of Zohar, that where he writes that at the time of his birth, his will to receive is only for corporeality. Therefore, although he has obtained the excessive will to receive prior to being 13, it is still not the end of the growth of the will to receive. The main growth of the will to receive is depicted only in spirituality, since, for example, prior to not being 13, his desire to receive wants to devour all the wealth and honor in this corporeal world, which is revealed to all, which is to him a transient world that is accessible to everyone and is perceived by everyone only as a fleeting shadow. But when he obtains that excessive spiritual will to receive, he wants to devour for his own pleasure all the delight and wealth of the next eternal world, which is to him an everlasting possession for all eternity. Thus, the will to receive is completed only with the desire to receive spirituality. It turns out that when they have become religious, they had a corporeal will to receive, which is not yet so great. This is why they had more strength to perform acts of bestowal.
Also, it was certain that he receives it for his own benefit in a direct way for the will to receive and seeing results there.
But once they have become religious and their will to receive has grown with the will to receive spirituality, it has become more difficult, because now the will to receive has more strength than when they had only a corporeal will to receive. Therefore, before they have become religious, they had some strength to perform acts of bestowal. But once they have become religious, obtaining the spiritual will to receive, it is now more difficult for them to engage in matters of bestowal. For this reason, it cannot be said that now they have become worse, or to say that the religious are worse, because it is more difficult for them to perform acts of bestowal. Rav, that's us, that it's more difficult for us. Rather, the will to receive has grown bigger, so it is more difficult to overcome it. For example, before he obtained the spiritual will to receive, his evil was 30%. Afterwards, once he has obtained the spiritual will to receive, his evil acquired another 70%. Therefore, now he needs a greater power to be able to overcome it. However, we should not say that now his strength is diminished. On the contrary, now he must find the remedy to defeat the evil power he has obtained. And the remedy for this is keeping Torah and mitzvot with the intention for the light in it to reform him. It therefore follows that he has advanced and has obtained more evil in order to correct it. But every beginning is difficult, and therefore now he thinks that he has become worse. However, he should know that each time he is given more bad to correct until he is rewarded with correcting everything.
A few questions and we'll move to a workshop, please.
The first page of the article, Rabash says that there's an action that he can do, which is to sell his exertion to be rewarded with the vessels.
Well, to provide the effort and get some result.
He says the exertion is the property, and he recommends to sell that property.
Right.
So what's that action to sell the property?
You're correct. This is actually a very beautiful question. If I work for some boss, then I make an effort and I get money. One time tells me break this wall. The other time it tells me take this from here to there. The other time it takes me sit down, write this for me. Then do that. I always do certain tasks, efforts, and receive the same kind of money, same kind of salary, worthy of amounts to what I want. In spirituality, it's not the case. In spirituality, when I work, I prepare myself in my work to a result of the work that arrives with a reward. Meaning, it turns out like this. There's all fulfillments in front of us. Anything you can possibly imagine. But now, I make a certain effort to be able to eat bread. So I discover the bread, I see where it is, and I take. Later, I work on some other desire based on what the host is telling me, and I discover a new desire to hear music. So I do. I each time create new vessels as a result of my work, and therefore I accept within these vessels that I've created the fulfillment. And that's the difference between the work in our world and spiritual work. And the Creator always gives us this kind of work according to where we are in the general system, where the beginning and the end of all development lie. They're already there, as we call it, the first, second, and third state. First being the beginning of creation, second is in the middle, and third at the end. So creation already exists with all its possible states. And in that, when I'm in front of that system, I constantly receive from it different kinds of awakening. And these different kinds of awakening are exactly alerting me in a way that if I respond correctly, I always build a correct vessel in me. And this way, by the better and better and better directed desire, I begin to discover my attitude towards the system. That means you discover the Creator. And to be in that system, to be in connection with it, to be active in the 10 sefirot that I have in the system, and when I receive a certain kind of attitude from the system, I learn how to respond to it, and I see how to respond better or worse until I improve to get to know the entire system to the extent that I know it, that I'm interacting with it in mutual connection. That's how we get to know that system. This is called the Creator. Our problem is to find the beginning, the process, and the purpose, and everything begins from having to lock myself on this system in a way that it is the first, it is the last, and I'm in the middle to tie the beginning to the end. Meaning what I feel within is the influence of the system. This is the world and me and the whole world around me. And now my response to that needs to be that I am going to recognize that it's really so, that it's all the system that's working, and it works on me. It's not just that it influences me, but both my actions and thoughts and directions and everything, decisions, they're all included in it. And the attitude to what's happening should be one that's goal-oriented. That the system works on me towards the goal. It awakens me to join it, integrate it with everything that I am. I cannot discover the system more than what I am, more than what I absorb, what I perceive, more than how I can integrate into the system. And that's how it works. Yes? Student from Holland is asking, what does the writing say when it says that we have to make effort to acquire vessels of bestowal? Does it mean when I bestow outwardly or when the influence of the environment influences me? Where does that sit so as to receive vessels of bestowal? Well, the vessels of bestowal, I have to give birth to them on top of my vessels of reception. From all those vessels of reception, I have to beget the vessels of bestowal. It's not that I check my own test files. It's impossible to change them. They're from above. This is nature. This is nature of creation. However, if I build on top of the vessels of reception an intention to bestow, that's me. That is my vessels of bestowal. There are no vessels of bestowal in nature. There are intentions to bestow on top of a will to receive. How can I build them? On top of constantly receiving an influence from above, that influence is
felt in me in different forms, pleasant or unpleasant, goal-oriented or not. And I direct myself to the source of that influence, of what I feel. That what I feel has a source, and that source is the only source. No. And then I have to direct my vessels in a way that I will feel that it's good, that that's good, and none else besides Him. From what's written, I have to turn what's written into my reality. And so, in that, I have to rearrange myself that way. Meaning, how do I relate to the whole of reality as one single desire, an upper desire, one force? And how will I relate to that force as good, that does good? So, for that, I was given a group, an environment, by which I can do this thing. Which means I have the wide world that gives me all kinds of influences, and I have to say that the influence that I receive from the broad environment of the entire world come to me from the upper force, but in order to relate to Him as good that does good and none else besides Him, I need to build a certain system. Through that system, I will properly relate to that source of hatred towards me. And for that, I was given the group. That if I bring together all the friends and I make all the actions that are needed in the group, then I build the right vessel for none else besides Him, the good that does good. And there's mutual work with the Creator here, that we discover in the group, in the environment, in the ten, and we derive special forces from it to build ourselves correctly. And in order, just as building ourselves as one, we'll also discover Him as one, as none else besides Him. And just as we discover ourselves, that all of us wish to do good to everyone, and all of us together will discover Him as good that does good. So it turns out that the ten is my correct attitude to the Creator. On my own, I cannot establish none else besides Him and good that does good. Through the ten, I can. So then I discover that the ten is me.
Francisco
from Spain asks, if the wise disciple has only sons, what should we do?
What?
If the wise disciple has only sons, what should we do?
I didn't understand. This is very... What? Jerusalem guy. Can you translate this to me or what?
No, we're at the same place. He says here in the article he should sell his house and have
sure, but what the daughter of the wise disciple, that's what it's about.
He says if the wise disciple has only sons, what should we do?
Well, this is a question that I don't have an answer for. We're talking about desires. Generally, females or daughters are referred to as a will to receive. Men or boys are will to bestow. So, what needs to be bought? What needs to be bought is such a desire that is on the one hand a female, a lack. On the other hand, it's of a smart disciple by which you can, so you can install the intention to bestow on it.
Igor from Dubai is asking, is the quality of bestowal, is that brought to the group in at the same time, or each one according to his efforts?
Usually, the group is working entirely as one unit. But there's also all kinds of changes there, all kinds of manners there that don't have to be that way. And all are working towards the group, and those who integrate in the group, they already become, well, let's put it like this, they have an opportunity to be the most advanced. But the forces in the group are forces that are constantly fluctuating and coming back to balance. That's why the work is always dynamic and progressive. Not everyone's equal. Everyone tries to be equal, tries to be connected in one point, etc., etc. But the individual state of each one in the ten still remains. It still remains. Later you'll discover that you want to burn each other. And then how can you connect? And who can be more or less? And everyone with his nature, with his fundamental point. Also, it's a question. Today you might be Netzach, the other day you're Gvura, and so each and every one takes on different roles in the group, complementing the others. That's, well, because everyone's included with everyone by the shattering. And so that's why it's a very diverse kind of work. Ask.
I would like to take advantage of the opportunity that we have from the introduction to the Book of Zohar.
Go ahead, come on.
This unlimited will to receive, what's that all about?
Well, exactly in that exceeded will to receive, just as the light exceeds and wants to bestow. So it, in other words, it's exactly like the light but opposite. It then opens in us in little portions gradually, so you'll have some option to give it the right shape.
At what point can you clothe the intention on it? It grows and grows and grows.
It all depends on you. What do you mean from when? From when you decide.
This corporeal will to receive, I don't think you can clothe the intention on it.
No, it's not the will to receive. When you begin to feel that you're in a state that the Creator opens in you or sends you a trouble.
A trouble?
A trouble, of course. Why? What else? What are all the troubles about? Not from him, where are they coming from?
Okay.
No, not okay. Only troubles.
So only there is the intention?
Only the troubles. When you discover that they're probably coming from the Creator, then you begin to have a connection with him. Based on that bad feeling, you can install an intention to bestow. How otherwise? I don't understand you. How do you think of, what do you think of our work?
Right, this example describes a corporeal will to receive or a spiritual?
What I'm talking about now?
Yeah, corporeal. The example.
Let's say someone humiliates you. Yes. Someone yelled at you on the street, and not even in your, you know, in your neighborhood where everyone knows you, yelling at you that you're a thief, that you're you know, a villain, something like that. What do you do?
To the person or what?
I'm asking, what do you do?
About the intention.
Not in terms of intention. What do you do?
I personally would respond, I think. I would get angry.
And then what? Are you making a correction by that or not?
That's mine of why weaknesses.
I'm not saying that you don't need to yell. This is one of the weaknesses of each and every one. You know, it all depends on the height of that hurt, you know, no one behaves otherwise. And then what's next? How do you shift it to the right direction? Maybe it comes from a righteous that cannot bear your villainous.
For me, it started with quotes by Rabbi Nachman.
Forget about all these slogans. No one knows these things.
No, it will pop up, this slogan. Here he is, his humiliation should be silent. That's the main part of the answer.
That's incorrect. You, according to what he explains to us here, you should have brought this back to the Creator. How do you do this? If you say there's none else besides Him, why do you relate to the person? The person is just a messenger. How do you now relate to the action?
That's my dealings with the Creator?
Your matter. Okay, how do you relate to the Creator now?
In that same phase of good and benevolent, I search for Him, for the goodness. You directed me to something. You want to give me something good. I'm in pain, and it's leading me to something good.
Meaning you gave me you hit me, now give me something good.
No, I got a blow, so I'll get something good.
Okay, you'll reach it. He'll give you something good. Fine.
Most important that something good will come out of it.
So we're talking about a different response. That on top of the blow, you first attribute it to the Creator only. Then what do you say about that blow? It goes through your will to receive, and it deserves to suffer, because on top of the suffering you feel in the will to receive, you can detach from it. You don't want it. You don't want to suffer, so that's why you don't want that will to receive. And you can transcend it, detach from it, and cling to the Creator. To the extent that you feel the blow, that blow itself separates you from the will to receive where you feel the blow, and it glues you to the Creator. That very same blow is what does it. If you read the situation correctly.
If it's not a blow, if it's a pleasure?
If it's a pleasure in your will to receive, that's even worse.
There's no chance to detach from it.
You fall into the shells. No, of course you can't separate from it. We can't separate from pleasures. We were incapable. There's no action. Then it's like you're dieting, you know, you refrain from smaller pleasures to go for greater pleasures. It's not, you can't refrain from pleasure only by the blow. This is the whole matter of the exile in Egypt, the evil inclination, Pharaoh putting a king such as Haman over them, etc. And only by that they repent.
So clothing the intention is in a way in a state that you can detach from the will to receive, and you can detach from the will to receive by feeling pain.
Only.
That I'm in pain from my will to receive, and I say that, I don't want that.
Yes, but it's, well, you're not hearing. But this is the path of in its time, in due time, when the Creator sends blows. Other than that, I have the ability to be in the group, and if in the group I search for suffering as a result of not adhering to it sufficiently, then I from the group, I begin to ask for adhesion for the group and from the group to the Creator. That is the path of hastening time. Okay. Yes. So the question is this. What is the first response that we need to establish within us towards every phenomenon we feel in life? One time I'm tired, I'm hungry, I'm this or that, doesn't matter. Positive and negative things is one. How do I direct myself correctly towards any situation that I'm in? Please, how do I muster the strength? How do I position myself? How do I set up the environment so that I'm alert to direct myself correctly to the purpose of creation? And what is it? Please.
My response should be me and my ten connected as one, facing the Creator. That happens only according to my pre-preparation.
And in that connection with the ten, there is the importance of bestowal, of detaching from the will to receive of each and every one.
The Creator does work on man's will to receive. That helps him detach and peel that shell, that peel, and that's through sufferings, no other way. And his ability to come out of this thought himself is thinking about the others.
Yeah, reminds himself that reality and whatever appears is none else but the Creator, dressing in different circumstances and situations, and by the way to really communicate with this force is through the group. That's the most efficient way.
Yeah, it turns out that I have no other way to stabilize myself. I need to respond to the Creator for all that He does to me. And my response will always be blaming Him and complaining. I'll never find the correction between us, but when I set my relationships to the Creator through the ten, then I'll be able to see the correct relation.
And also not to escape the sense of the blow or pleasure, but to feel that it's okay to suffer a blow or receive pleasure, because if it comes from the Creator, it's good to feel it.
A person begins to divide himself into two in every moment. That what he feels and this image that he sees is an image that the will to receive depicts for him. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, there's this corrected image, which is the group, which is the environment. That also he needs to see how he reaches a state that he sees it as corrected. But that, these are the two sides through which we can see reality.
And in order to organize the environment as a corrected environment, one always has to work on appreciating the environment that he wants to see himself integrating in, that single desire where the light that reforms dwells.
That's through annulment and mixing the friend's hearts and searching for that point of connection between us.
To always make sure that they hold on to the Creator who manages everything, and then what's left is, on the one hand, pleasure that's opposite to the blows they feel in the will to receive, on the other hand, pleasure that's greater than those felt in the will to receive.
The Creator works on him and on a man, and the man has to see how he can participate in this. There's a final goal which is predefined by the Creator to be like him, to bestow, and the creation leads man to that point. Now you either go this in the path of suffering, or you participate in it and it becomes the path of Torah.
It's also the role of the environment that I need to cultivate around me and really generate this general atmosphere of remembering the Creator, of remembering our goal as a group.
I need this environment. I need the environment that will constantly tell me about my connection to the Creator. I myself can't discover that connection. I need the group to also have this processor through which I perceive reality that has to go through the friends, through my attitude to the friends.
All of the blows and pleasures that we receive is in order to help us strengthen the connection with the group and the others.
Rav, how do we stabilize such a state that from the center of the group is where the Creator is hiding, and we constantly need to be focused to the center of the group in order to reveal Him, as there is none else besides Him, as Him being good and benevolent, as all of reality, internal, general, external, of everyone, of all of us together, doesn't matter how, that we only need to be focused towards that. How do we stabilize such a sensation in the tent? That is the only thing we're directed to. That in the center of the group is where the Creator is, going to be revealed to the extent that we then are included there equally. That this balance between us, this participation between us, in a way that we're all directed to a single goal of mutuality, of support, that reveals that very same sense in us, that general sense in which what is revealed is the Creator. How do we do that? How do we prepare ourselves for that? Let's say today, for example, there are a few different events. How do we hold ourselves that in spite of all the activities that we have, how do we correctly use those 24 hours until the next morning lesson tomorrow, so that we constantly, every moment in our life, will be aimed towards this? That in the connection between us, in this collaboration between us, we reveal the upper force. Go ahead. What preparations do we need to do here and now? Yes, please.
Right, this is what's called building a spiritual environment, because right now I'm not seeing the friends as great. I'm not feeling that, well, it's exactly the time where I need to build the environment for myself, which is great and strong and holds the Creator in the middle of it. Because right now, the will to receive shows me other things. And on top of that, I need to demand to see the real picture. Possibly demanding the true picture of reality depends on the level to which I integrated in the 10 during the lesson, and I connected with it in such a way that I always am afraid of not losing that connection, because specifically through that I can hold on to the awareness. And we see that they direct me specifically to none else besides Him.
And in these entries and exits, the Creator leads us to ask for the others. You can't detach the entire tent. So those that are awakened, it's their responsibility to hold the others in the center of the group.
On the one hand, everyone has to see how little he is towards the friends. On the other hand, to raise them to the maximum height.
Yep, it's a matter of this pact, this contract, that a person does whatever he can towards the upper force, towards the group, and that works on him towards his next degree.
We have to try to give as much personal example as possible, that what motivates me to act is really the revelation of the Creator, and I try to awaken it in the group through all kinds of actions to give the feeling and impression as much as I can that this is what's important to me, and then any action that I add to it will inspire the environment.
Yes, we need to help each other with this. It constantly slips away. How to set up the right attitude towards the same blow that you or a friend get. Because eventually what we're learning now is that it's the same, that's the only lack I can bring to the center of the group. Yearn for the revelation of the Creator. I got a blow, doesn't matter what blow, I can respond in a certain way. I can take it in, I can not do anything with this blow, it was seemingly for nothing. Or I can go to the group and the whole way remind her and bring the lack that I just got now. It's an opportunity not of my own, but of the entire group, the entire ten.
Just to practically discover the Creator, if we make an action of connection, not to think or act as though it'll come, let's say we now act from the revelation of the Creator and always increase that revelation between us. And not to...
I think that in the lesson we're making a pact, we're developing dependence on one another. That's what needs. We understand that throughout the day, the will to receive is going to detach us from each other. And for that, we are now connecting, uniting, in order. In order to somehow remain together.
And to pay attention to these connections and disconnections, how does it happen to me and how do I respond? And my response is basically the progress.
We also have practical things today. We have a Shivat Chavirim that we can do with respect to that. There's this point we can prepare for. There's a checklist that can hold us in the air for this. The means already exist that can hold us in this. Action.
Generally, every time there's an awakening to any one of us, to make sure that it goes through to all the others from one tent to other tents in the entire kli, and we can do it together.
Yeah, we have the strongest means. He says it in the article. We always read about it. It's the light that reforms. All of our actions are worthless if we don't draw the force of the light. And during the lesson is when I draw this force that will connect us, this force that will guide us later on. We have nothing else.
Actions of connection are those that awaken our desire for connection. If we can, during the day, make actions points of contact, we'll find that we are not inclined to it. Maybe we'll even find dispersion and disparity, but that's maybe the key to ask, otherwise you don't ask.
It turns out that we're tired and we feel this connection in the network we're in, we feel it only through the blows.
Rav, in order to detach from the ego, from the will to receive, and belong to the Creator as good that does good, we need to not identify with what is felt in the will to receive, meaning to detach from it, to peel ourselves from it, and to glue ourselves to the group and in it the Creator. How do we do this, let's say, on top of some unpleasant feeling that a person receives? Let's take that Jerusalem guy, right, that is now being scorned. by someone somewhere. So how would we behave instead of him? What are we doing with our will to receive, what it feels, the group, the Creator, relating everything to an Allah besides whom, Him, and good that does good, until we come to the end of the action. In the beginning of the action, we feel a very unpleasant feeling that something happens to me, something lands on me, and at the end of the action, and if I correctly process it, I should be integrated with none else besides Him, good that does good, that there is nothing better and beautiful, more beautiful in the world. How do I shift from that darkened state to this light, illuminated state? Right? When I complete it, I complete the action from beginning to end. This means that I have correctly utilized the invitation from the Creator. So, how do we do it? Come on.
You need to start building the greatness of the Creator. From the moment I got a blow, I start entering this thing called greatness of the Creator and building it.
The blows in this world have only one purpose, to redirect me to the spiritual work. Meaning, when I suffer a blow, I need to immediately feel suffering from being detached from the group, because I was hit, suffered a blow because I was not connected with the group. And then
I need to ask, what do I have to do to go back to that same adhesion? And the first thing that I need to do is, first of all, I need to see that I got this from that single source. So He'll be able to eventually help me to go back there. But first, to ascribe it all to this single force and to start examining what this force is.
Then I begin, through external actions, to read something, to connect to the friends, and I pass this on to inner actions and begin to demand the light. And according to the demand, it advances the reshimot until the end of the degree.
And all of this, this entire degree, depends on how before that this point of darkness, this lowly point, was dependent on the group. Because if there's a point of darkness, then before there was strength to invest in the group. And if one didn't invest, then you can't expect to have any way to get out of this point of darkness. It all depends on the investment.
Rav, so the first action is that by the group, by the environment, by the prior preparation, I begin to see that this blow comes to detach me from my will to receive. And then I'm already in gratitude that the Creator didn't hit me, but He hit Pharaoh, my ego, and me, the point in the heart, the I, can thus detach from the will to receive. And then what do I do with that point? How do I go and correct it in the center of the group? That's already the second phase.